You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my good friend Anelia Benz returns with a lot of exciting news. Anelia came in for the first time here to assist with raising the vibration of the planet. In January 2010, she was asked by Source to go public to promote the message of empowerment and sovereignty to the masses. She came out publicly as a messenger of personal and global ascension. She has done weekend events, creates tools for use on her website, www.ascension101.com, and has a more personal website for those who want to actively work on themselves called Walk With Me Now. She has written 5 works of fiction, Interview with an Alien, The 13th Mage, Interview with a Psychic Assassin, Interview with an Angel, and she's releasing a new book coming out soon. She also has 4 other books which deal with ascension and empowerment. So let's welcome Anelia back to the show now. Hi, Anelia. How are you?
Hi, Lance. Oh, my God. It's so cool to hear you. I missed you.
Yeah, good to hear you, too. I've been reading your recent book, Interview with an Angel, and I just love it.
Cool.
I didn't get a chance to finish it, but it's just as much a page-turner as all your other books have been, and it's just packed with information. I really like it. It's a great book.
Oh, super. Whereabouts are you on the book?
Well, about the first third of it.
Oh, nice.
I thought I was going to get through the whole thing, but then, you know, life comes in and, you know, shakes your cage a little bit.
Well, the book is really packed with information. So even though it doesn't look like a very big book, you know, every paragraph is filled with information and energy. So it takes a while, you know, it's like you have to sit down with it. It takes a lot longer to read it, actually, than one originally thinks.
So what have you been up to since we last talked? It's been a while.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's been forever. Gosh. Well, I have moved from the work of, mass empowerment, delivering the message of empowerment to the masses, to working with really dedicated individuals who have made a commitment to embody the new paradigm and shift themselves and shift the planet into a more resonant creation and co-creation, and concentrating on my books as well, doing some classes still, and releasing those on my website. It's been an interesting change of pace and lifestyle. I'm doing a lot more things that I enjoy doing power objects and things like that as well. I love those. Yeah, it's been good.
Sounds nice. Now, you have a houseboat, right?
Yes, that's where we live.
And tell us about the Shaman Shack.
Oh, yes. Well, the Shaman Shack is an event location. It is, energetically, it's where Gaia and us as people can reconnect. We call it the Shaman Shack because it is a house, and we have an event hall in it. It can house up to 8 people for events, and I do retreats there, like week-long retreats. That's been really amazing. Oh, my gosh, amazing experiences. We have one coming up in May, but it's fully booked. So if anybody's interested, they have to check it into my newsletter so that you can get the news, because they fill up really quickly. And it's just an amazing, really magical location. We've seen a lot of signs that there's Sasquatch around because we're right on the edge of the forest there. So it's been really fascinating, really fascinating.
Well, I remember when I was up in that part of the woods with Larry a few years back, and we had to go through a really eerie part of the forest, and I could sense all kinds of strange creatures and weird feelings, you know, strange vibes. And that was where you have to climb down the side of the hill to get to the beach. And there was a very unusual area that was, I'd never seen anything quite like it, really. It was as if it was taken over by spooky possums or something.
Yes, I do know what you're saying. Yeah, I remember that it's in one of the hikes, I think, to the beach. Yeah, I remember. I know exactly what you mean. It's a very spooky area, you're right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and you can talk to the little elves and fairies and all kinds of little creatures that are in there. I was getting all kinds of messages on the way back. It was a great time.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful
area. Can't wait till you
go
up there again.
And so you have the, there's a museum there also, right?
In the reservation, yeah. We live at the Macaw Reservation here because Larry's Macaw, and they have a really fantastic Native American Macaw Museum. It's really, really quite extraordinary. I was reading that it's one of the best Native American museums in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody's coming up to the Macaw Reservation up here, make sure that you get a trip into the museum. They open every day. Yeah, it's really amazing.
Oh, it is. It's really quite something. And the macaws were quite a deep and profound people, and they were very strong people. And you just get the impression that they were really, that they just were really the salt of the earth. They just did everything themselves, and skinning the animals and making boats, and it's just a beautiful museum and tells you all about it.
Yeah. I mean, they still are. Obviously, the culture clash has come in and taken out quite a few, but especially the younger generations are coming back to learning how to be independent and not just backwards looking way, I should say, but also forward looking. So there's that energy or spirit of really bringing forth the strength rather than just getting stuck on traditions, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Although
mm-hmm.
a lot of the traditions and a lot of the young people are trying to bring back the language, which is really amazing too, and the stories. We've been to some of the cultural events and the storytellings, and it's really quite amazing.
Well, it does seem like that's something that we miss in our culture here in the United States, is the art of storytelling, which the shamans of many different cultures have preserved over the centuries, sitting around the campfire and telling stories. And that was one of the chief ways that people learned things, from the stories. It was, quite a profound way to learn about your ancestors and get scared and, get excited and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, lots of teachings as well. But also one of the things that was interesting to me was that a lot of the individuals here, for them, the Sasquatch, for example, is not a theory. They're like, yeah, they exist. Of course they exist. You know, like, it's like saying, yeah, elk don't exist or bears don't exist. You know? Or let's prove that elks exist, you know. They have they've had traditionally and historically a lot of contact with the Sasquatch here.
Have you seen any Sasquatch yet while you're up there?
Well, we've seen signs, and actually I have, although it was really bizarre because we were at the Shaman Shack. At the back of the Shaman Shack, there's some trees, there's woods, it's connected to the woods. And I was walking towards, we have an outdoor shower near there, and Larry was in there, but he'd forgotten to bring his towel. So I was bringing a towel for Larry. And he was coming out of the shower looking at, and I was walking towards him, and I look out through the woods, and I see this massive, extremely tall black shape running through extremely fast. The first thing that went through my mind was bear, there's a bear there. But then I thought, wait a minute, bears are not that tall. And bears don't run that fast. That was just insanely fast. And then I look at it, I hand the towel over to Larry, and I said, "Did you see that? Did you see that?" And he didn't have his glasses, so he couldn't see anything. And he said, "Did you hear that? Did you hear that?" And I'm like, "Hear what?" I hadn't heard anything myself, but I had seen it because, and I'm more visual in picking up things, I'm more visual. And the dogs had run towards the area too. So when people say, "Have you seen one?" Well, I saw something that looked like a Sasquatch. I can't think of anything else it could have been. And he heard something crushing through the branches and bushes and everything. He said it was really loud as it was
Interesting.
crashing through. Yeah. So that was
Well,
that.
I think it's supposed to be interdimensional or something, aren't they?
I think so. I mean, a lot of people who have had contact here is a physical contact, and a lot of people are afraid of them. They think they're just big gorilla type animals. But yeah, but the contact, I mean, we've had different types of contact too. Whenever we go into the woods here, I will make a sound with my mouth, like whoo, whoo, like that, really, really loud to go into the woods. And I project within the sound, we're here, we're visiting, we're hanging out, we're taking a walk in the woods because it's their location, right? It's their woods. And then on the way out, I'll make the same sound and I'll send the message that we're leaving now. And the past two times that we went into the woods and we were coming out, the time before last, I made the sound, and then to our right, somebody answered back. Really loud, really loud. And it was a very masculine voice, but it was loud and distant. And I thought, whoa, we were like, oh, did you hear that? We could not believe it. It was incredible. And then obviously I did it again, but they didn't answer back. So we left. And then the last time we were out there, I did it again. And as we were, I did it. And then about 30 seconds later, it responded. Somebody responded to our left, but really distant in the woods. Not only that, but the sound was really, really similar to my voice. And after doing some research, apparently they are very good at copying sounds, right? So they'll be able to copy sounds really well. So that makes sense because I thought, at first I thought, whoa, that was a really loud and delayed echo. And this was dusk, and it was late, and it was cold. And I didn't think a lady with my voice would have been in the woods up there in the mountain by herself, right? With her group or whatever. And then so we got super excited again, and I did it again. And this time, again, after 30, 40 seconds, it came back again. And we were totally blown away by that. Yeah.
That's
But
pretty
again, it's
exciting.
like, yeah, for us, it's like, whoa, and all that. But for the Native American tribes around here, it's like Tuesday. Of course, there's Sasquatch. What are you talking about? One of the origin stories that I really like is one, I can't remember the name of the tribe, but they teach that when the gods came from the sky to give all the humans souls, the Sasquatch tribe didn't turn up and they missed out on the souls. And yeah, and then now they're kind of embarrassed about them because they're wild and they don't get dressed in clothes and stuff, but that there's also historical records among the tribes of trade and dealings with the Sasquatch until very recently. So Yeah, when you look at it that way, it's like for us, it's like, oh my gosh, you know, do they really exist? But yeah, they do.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah. We've been having lots of adventures over here. It's quite amazing.
I'll bet. So, what are some of the things that you guys get into with adventures and exploring? And of course, you've got your houseboat and stuff. You can go out in the ocean.
Well, we haven't been to the ocean for a while now.
Oh, okay.
We're just parked here in the marina. We have spent a lot of our time and energy and effort getting the Shaman Shack ready for events and welcoming individuals. I've also started mentoring individuals or offering mentoring, but it's very dedicated. So it's like the person has to apply and everything. And it's been one of the things that's been happening recently is I've started making power objects again, power jewelry and power objects. I used to do that as a teenager. I used to love it, you know, really, really love it. But it takes a lot of time, obviously, but it's really beautiful. It's like an art form as well. So I've been busy doing that. I'm finishing the novel, you know, the latest novel that I'm writing. I'm finishing that. Should be exciting when that's done.
Wow.
We go on hikes and explore, connect with the elemental shamans and the Sasquatch and other beings and Gaia. And I recently released a class on guides and angels and how to make sure that your guides and angel are high frequency, because that's not necessarily going to happen unless you make it happen.
You have to ask, don't you?
Oh, you have to demand, not ask. You got to demand, because otherwise anybody can get in. Plus, individuals who are full of programs, if you're running a lot of programs, your programs will accept and allow low frequency entities to enter your entourage, you know, become guides and guide you into suffering. Especially if you hold a program that says, you know, to be a better person, you have to suffer, or suffering makes you a better person, or suffering teaches you lessons, then they'll pretty much, then will make sure that you suffer, because as you know, there are certain entities who feed off our suffering and our fears and our pain. So, you don't want those around.
No. Not at all. So you have a class about angels and guides, right?
Yeah, I have it on my website. I just released it. And that will teach you there, you know, show you how to get rid of the low frequency ones. And also has a meditation on how to contact your guides and angels. It's a visual meditation. It's really, really nice. And very effective, too.
Now, how do people know when they've actually contacted the real deal? There's so much information that's out there, and just about anything that is angelic or of God or of, you know, the higher power or source, it seems like it all gets kind of co-opted. And, you know, we get convinced that everything's been interfered with. So how do you deal with that, and how do people get through that maze of information that can distract us?
That's a really good question. You know, it's like one of the things that I talk about in that class is that and how to basically, there's a couple of things you can do. One of them is make sure that you have a very strong decision and order that only very high frequency entities and beings can enter your awareness, your field, and be part of your entourage. But also, with regards to our own and other people's channeled information, we have to be extremely discerning, because sometimes it's not just co-opted by low-frequency entities, but it can be also be hijacked by our own ego or low-frequency programs and belief systems and culture. So basically, you have to become very discerning. And what I say is, like, work on your resonance dissonance compass, because if you hear something and it's a tiny little dissonance about it, you can 100% be 100% sure that it's been hijacked, either by yourself or by another entity. So everything has to be checked with your resonance dissonance compass, and you can develop that very, very easily. You just allow your physical body to give you all the signs, and you also your like intuition or your higher knowing of yourself, you know. And you can do that by saying, for example, you could say yourself right now, my given name is Lance, right? If you say that out loud, you'll get 100% resonance or some sort of dissonance, right? And when you say it, that's how you start teaching yourself. So, for example, if you're sitting down right now, you can say, my physical body is sitting down in this moment in time space, and then you get an absolute resonance. Or if you're actually standing up or lying down, you get a dissonance. And that's how you start learning how it feels when something is resonant, when it's something is dissonant, or when something is slightly dissonant, but not, but so you start learning, teaching yourself how that feels. And then when you hear other things, when you hear people channeling stuff, or you get information yourself directly, you can scan it with those, right? You can scan it with that resonance dissonance compass, and you know, discernment too. If any of those entity tells you that you're the only person on the planet who can bring in this information, because you're absolutely fantastic and unique and the human collective is saving, and you're the only person to save them, you can be sure that's an egoic mess. Somebody messing around with you, you know? It's like,
There seems there are a lot of people who think they're the only ones.
Yeah, that's a typical one, you know, that low entity creatures and entities will use to get you going. So, and if any of these entities tell you to start killing people or hurting people, you know you're being hijacked. So, yeah, don't listen to those.
Right. So now you're doing the mentoring program as well, in addition to the Angels and Guides.
Yeah, that's just a class I released, the Angels and Guide thing, but the mentoring is for individuals who have already made a commitment for embodying the new paradigm and experiencing and co-creating a high-frequency experience here for themselves and for others on the planet. They've already made that commitment, and they've already pretty much sorted out through all their stuff. I mean, they have a really good processing tools, because I'm not going to be processing stuff with them. It's basically a lot of brainstorming and looking and making a broader perspective of what's happening. I do give homework for individuals, like things they have to do, and that will expand or their stuff or remove really deep programs from them, but there's no processing involved with me, you know. And it's really exciting because these individuals are extremely interesting. They're very interested. They're dedicated. They have a really high frequency energy and intent of moving forward. They are done with all the low frequency stuff. If not necessarily got rid of it, but done as in, you know, I don't want to have this anymore, that type of decision, right? Not the decision of, oh, I don't want any more drama in my life, but hell, you know, it's so entertaining, and every time drama presents itself, they will go for it, you know? That's not the case with these individuals. So, yeah, that's been really fascinating. To get into the mentoring program, the person has to send me a proposal. The proposal contains why they want mentoring, why they're choosing me as their mentor, how much do they think they need to pay or want to pay for the mentoring program. The more detailed the proposal, the better. And then we go through it and we make a decision whether it's a good idea or not a good idea.
Oh. Well, that sounds like a good interactive process.
Yeah. Even the act of making the proposal has been transforming for individuals, you know?
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Well, we used to talk about timelines and, you know, various things years back when you were in Sacramento and what was going on with the collective and all of that. Do you have any new thoughts about any of this that since you've been up there in Washington, and what's actually going on the larger scale?
Yeah, it's really actually quite fascinating, and I think that you've probably felt it because you're very sensitive in that way too. Since the beginning of the year, what I perceived for 2018 was that it was going to be easier for anybody who chose the high-frequency experience, that finally we were going to get some validations, some support, and it's going to be easy for us. Finally, it's going to start being easy for us.
Mm-hmm.
But January started really tough, man.
Yes.
It was like, oh my gosh.
Yep.
It's like, it was really bizarre. I could not believe it. I thought, whoa, what happened to the EC?
Right.
You know, it's like, what happened?
Right.
And I was told by someone who I've had contact with for a long time, who works for the other side, that they were implementing the deletion of most of the human collective this year, and they were going to basically do it, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I'm looking at him going, yeah, right. The thing about those people and the people who plan those things is that they have never taken into consideration, I don't think, the fact that we're not just souls in bodies, but our physical bodies are extremely powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really, really hard to delete, to remove. They're one of the main programs that our physical bodies carry is to survive and to continue the DNA through time space by making babies.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really powerful, powerful drive. If you think about it, we haven't got fur, we haven't got claws, we haven't got sharp teeth. We're basically helpless in an environment, right? We put us in somewhere that's 10 degrees too hot or 10 degrees too cold, we die. And even so, we are, 7 billion people now or something like that?
Oh, yeah, 6 billion, at least.
So think about that, you know? We are extremely hard to delete as a physical species, as just the bodies. But they haven't taken that into account. And then those people who are playing that game of trying to remove us or feeding off our fears and stuff, they are spending billions and billions and billions of dollars on pharmaceutical companies and media companies to make our bodies weak and our minds weak and make us agree to a devastation that will remove, like, I don't know, about 90% of the human population probably. I don't know how many, but a lot. But it's just not working, right? I mean, we were supposed to have World War III. When was it? December or something? I can't remember.
A while back.
It's not. It doesn't work, and that's part of what they. I don't know. It's almost like they underestimate the human body and the human collective's drive to survive. There is a program within us, each person, and also the collective, that is a self-destruct button. And I think that's what they've been trying to push really, really hard for a while now. But it's not working because I think that because the frequency has been rising continuously since the 1800s, it's now too late to press that button. It just won't work.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really, I think it's really positive. And I've seen a huge influx of individuals who have been on a spiritual path or a path of information and releasing of information of the stuff that's going on, who are now, okay, now it's time to, for me personally and for me and the people that I know, to create something beautiful, to have beautiful experiences. Because once we remove, or once we move out of the agreement that everything has to have fear, pain, suffering in it, once we remove those, our overall frequency goes up. And I know for a fact that the human collective's high frequency bandwidth is active and reconnected, and any one of us can connect to it at any time. Mm-hmm. And within that band, the decisions that we take of the experiences we're going to have as a species, once it goes to a higher frequency, billions of worlds open up for us, dimensions open up for us. We're explorers as, mm-hmm. as a species, mm-hmm. also. We're not just creators, we're explorers also. And so much opens up for us. It's so exciting to move away from the reality that's been drawn into us, 9-to-5 jobs and work until you die, and the rest of the time drink a lot of alcohol and watch television.
Right. You know?
So moving away from that, I see us doing that. This year it's like a big jump to that, and I thought it was going to be easy. It felt it was going to be easy, but I guess that January didn't prove to be easy, and February is a bit wobbly. And I was talking to a friend that day, and I was saying, yeah, you're doing the timeline wobble, because it's the timelines right now, and I'm sure you felt it too.
Mm-hmm.
That's so wobbly. Oh my gosh, so mm-hmm. wobbly.
Absolutely. Well, you know, there's a book written by Robert Shapiro called The Explorer Race, and he channels a multidimensional being named Zeus, and he makes a pretty convincing argument that we are the explorer race, and we are destined to become that. And it's kind of inspirational because, you know, and most people are just still stuck in their 9-to-5 jobs, as you said. But I think people are starting to, as you said, wake up and actually think about what they want to do rather than what the program is that's running on the planet. Like, you know, you go to work and then you stay there, and then you get a better job, and then you retire, and then you know, you're all bent over and you go into the rest home and then you die. It doesn't sound like a very exciting prospect. So I think people must be rethinking that quite a bit, because there's a lot of turbulence going on right now.
Yeah. Yeah, the more people that think that, the better, because then it starts spreading within our collective and it becomes mm-hmm. real. You know, it's so exciting. So what have you been up to?
Well, trying to get I've been cleaning my house from the inside out. Okay. And I'm going through every room and cleaning walls and pulling things out and getting rid of anything that I don't need, and then rearranging everything to be more zen-like and simple. And putting up curtains. There were some curtains here that Helene had left behind. And I put those up, and the place is just looking terrific. I mean, it's getting so I love being here, and I'm putting all my bookcases in the dining room and organizing my books finally so that I can find them. And I'm just having a really good time just doing stuff around the property.
That's amazing. You know, that exactly represents and reflects what needs to be done this year is basically that.
Mm-hmm.
It's going through all our stuff, and not just physical stuff, but programs and belief systems and everything, and getting rid of all the stuff that's no longer resonant with us.
Yeah,
and keeping
yeah.
the stuff that is resonant, that is beautiful, high frequency, and yeah. enjoying it. That's beautiful. I love it.
Oh, I do too. And it seems like every day is a little bit more exciting because there's always something that I have wanted to do for a long time on my bucket list, and I'm getting closer. And the more I do to arrange the house and get things out of the rooms and rearrange the rooms, the closer I get to being able to do my artwork. And when I was up with Larry coming up to that area, I bought a game of runes at a place that he stopped at. We stopped at for food. And these were Australian people who had developed a wonderful game of runes. And I had been wanting to study that book and use the runes for years. And so now it's on the dining room table. The table is cleared off, and I can start, you know, studying it and figuring out how it works. And they had been giving readings, and they were just wonderful people. And the readings were very profound. And so I can start to do that, too.
Oh, my gosh. That's so exciting.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're totally gifted with regards to doing readings. I remember you were just messing about. I can't remember when it was, because we were just messing about with a group of people. It says, oh, I'll do a reading for you. Boom! It lands. Oh, my God. I was like, oh, I didn't know you could do that. I says, yeah, I used to play with it for a while when some years ago. And he says, why on earth did you ever stop?
Well, it seems like it's finally time. And like you said, January was a pretty awful month for me anyway. And I had some major losses and some realizations that smacked me across the face, and some bricks hit me in the head again. And, you know, I just had to stop in my tracks and just look at what it was I wanted to do going forward, and, you know, where was I resonating and how can I resonate higher, and then eliminate some of the lower frequencies. So this month has been much better, but like you said, it's a little wobbly, but, you know, the earth wobbles, so I guess it's okay to wobble.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And then I have fun cooking, too. I made I've got on the pot on the stove, I cook chicken for Donnie, my little dog, and so I use the chicken broth to make vegetable soup or chicken soup. So I've got a chicken soup on the stove, and after the show, I'm going to have a nice big bowl of hot chicken soup.
Oh, sweet. Nice. Man, I wish I wasn't so far away. I could come in and have a soup with you.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Well, we can have one in the ethereal planes. How's that?
Yeah, I'll come over in the astral.
In the astral, well, yes.
But I'll be able to get the smell at least.
Right.
Gosh, we haven't had a conversation for such a long time.
I know.
So cool. I just want to hang out with you. I could be quiet all the time. It's so cool to be with Lance right now.
I know. It was so nice when you lived here in Sacramento and you were local and you were doing things locally. We had a lot of fun and did a lot of interesting things together. That video that you made was quite a hoot.
Oh my gosh, yeah, that was hilarious.
Wasn't that something?
Yeah, that was super
awesome. I love that.
Yeah.
Going through the open windows, and it was really nice.
Yeah.
And we had some good times.
Oh, yeah. We had a blast.
But one of these days, I will probably want to drive up the coast, and not necessarily this year, but at some point, I'm going to want to take that trip again and to see some of the places that we stopped at and visit with friends and stop and see you guys. And I have another friend that lives in, I think, Washington also, that Daniel Jacob. He channels the Reconnections. He's a wonderful man. And Terry, a friend of mine named Terry, lives up there too. So I told them that I would be up there to visit, and so I will have to make arrangements to do that.
That would be awesome. Plus, we have the Shaman Shack, and it's got bedrooms where you can stay. So.
Ooh, nice, nice.
Yeah.
Well, I'm also doing. I'm working with Cheryl Scott, who started the Ubuntu Center in Volcano, California, and we're starting a live video of interviewing people that are basically preparing the way for the future, kind of the visionaries and the people who see that there's a galactic presence, and who are working with telepathy and intuition and psychic abilities. And that one gentleman is starting psychic centers all over the world, and so he's involved with it. And we just had our first Zoom conference and talked about what we were going to call it, and we came up with Cosmic Spotlight. So we actually got something decided on in the conference. So, and she has some wonderful events down there. I went to one of the events, which was William Monroe, who developed the HemiSync programs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there was somebody there that had some of the advanced programs, and we spent the whole day listening to some of the programs where they guide you through a visualization, and then some of them that are just music. But they were just wonderful. I mean, I was transported to another world, and her space there is so beautiful. I mean, before the last time I was down there, it was just the top of the roof of the garage. Well, now it's all enclosed with huge windows and beautiful lighting and shawls and beds, you know, little futon beds, and probably you could get 40 or 50 people in there easily.
Wow.
And nice wood floor. She has just done some amazing things on that property. It's just, it really is an inspiration. So I'll probably be spending more time down there as well. But the interviews will be done on Zoom, so I'll be one of the interviewers, and she's going to be one of the other ones.
Nice. Oh, my gosh. That's going to be so exciting to hear.
Oh, yeah.
To.
Finally, I'll get to be doing video interviews, which I've always wanted to do.
And you're very good, too.
I can be very funny at times. I love to entertain people. That's what the thing is. And I just think of those craziest things. Maybe that's why they call me the Zany Mystic.
Yes. Yeah, well, that sounds super exciting.
Yeah.
Very exciting stuff. Yeah, a lot of people have started, you know, creating locations where people can go and learn and tap into the higher frequencies and co-create together. One of the rules we have at the Shaman Shack is that the intent is that you have the experience here on the planet of a high frequency interaction with the land, with the animals, and with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So please leave your drama and your problems at the door.
Right. That's mandatory.
Yeah. And if you are getting into trouble and you're finding like some ego battles going on and you fall into processes or triggers, to ask for help, you know? Not to use it as an excuse to create drama or other things. You know. So that's one
right.
of the things we have at the Shaman Shack. It's a place of learning, expansion, a safe place to be yourself, to express your highest frequency possible. And I've been finding that a lot of individuals are going that way. You know, they're doing these places and locations to do this experiencing of each other at a higher frequency. And your project and with your friend is like sounds exactly like that.
Mm-hmm.
And also that connection, you know, multiple connection. So what do you think about all this ET stuff that's been coming out?
The what?
The ET, UFOs, all that type of stuff that's been coming out recently.
Well, it just seems like they've always been there. And now we're just starting to see them. And I think that that's going to be a trend that's going to continue. And in fact, I see them all the time. My place overlooks the American River, and there are no lights or street lights at this part of the property. they don't come out this far, and so it's dark, and all I can see is the stars. And there are these little, well, they're not little, but they're triangular lights that kind of shine or sparkle or blink. And I don't know what to call them because I don't know what they are, but they move in various directions. And they're above the horizon, and they'll move up, and sometimes they'll move to the right, and sometimes they'll move down and to the left, and they're perfectly silent. So, I mean, I can go out there almost any night and find one that's moving around out there. And so I've got some feelers out for to find out what kind of equipment the people that go to the MUFON and the UFO congresses, what do they use to see these things? Because I remember when I went to a UFO congress, and Jordan Maxwell was there, and Laura Eisenhower, and all the fun people. And it was a great time, and there were these kids that had these advanced telescopes. I guess they were infrared. And I didn't pay enough attention at the time, but they said you can see everything going on. There's space battles and things that you just couldn't imagine. And you can see them if you have the right equipment. So I'm kind of putting the word out there for people to let me know where you can find that kind of equipment to see what's out there at night and not have something that costs $1 million because I live on Social Security, but, you know, something that would work, and I would love to be able to see what these things are and see them more closely and, you know, to look at the stars and look at the UFOs that are out there.
Yeah, that would be really, really cool if you could get some footage of those.
Oh, yes. Yeah, because this is a high-frequency area, as you know.
I remember.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's an interdimensional portal at all.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised either. I mean,
yeah,
there's definitely something there.
Yeah, for sure.
The healing energies are really strong.
Mm-hmm, so, very strong.
Yeah.
So, yes, well, if anybody that's listening tonight knows of any equipment that can be used at night to look at unidentified flying objects, please let me know. There's a place to write to me on the BBS radio page there, and I think my email address is on there, too, so I'd really love to find something like that.
That seems you also like have it's... your Facebook page, right?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Well, I'm on Facebook, too, so, you know, it's easy to find me under Lance White. So, you know, just drop me a note and let me know.
That'd be cool. Yeah, I'd like to know what they use as well. I thought it was the night vision stuff.
Yeah, night vision goggles or something like that. I'm not sure. But, you know, I have to kind of watch my pennies, so...
I know, right?
But, you know, if people don't, you know, if people know of something that's expensive, tell me anyway, and I'll, you know, figure out a way to manifest it.
Or maybe a really rich person, somebody
yeah.
who has a really good job and earns good money can donate one to you.
Would be nice.
That would be really nice, wouldn't it?
It would be, and I could put the pictures and the films up on my YouTube place.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that would be a lot of fun.
It would be a lot of fun.
Because
that is a hot spot for sure.
Yeah, I think there are more strange things out there than there are things that we're familiar with. We just don't see them.
You know, the fact that we don't see them is so weird. I was visiting with my daughter a few months ago down in Fairfield, and I was driving from Sacramento to Fairfield, and I swear to you, above the mall, there was this enormous, huge triangle, and they had like lights on each corner and then little lights on the edges. It was massive, and I was driving, looking at it, going, oh my God, how come nobody's stopping? How come nobody's saying anything? Oh, you know, it's like, it's right there. Nobody's doing anything. And then I realized I was still driving. I wasn't doing anything. You know, just...
Right.
to see if anybody was... And I didn't pull out off the highway. I didn't take photographs. I just carried on driving. But I know that a lot of people didn't even see it.
Oh, yeah. Well,
so
you know,
I didn't do anything, which is unfortunate. I should have pulled up and taken photos. But
you know, you remember when the Lights of Phoenix came by, Lynn Cattai made that famous. They photographed the ships going over Phoenix very slowly, and it was a huge event, and finally everybody admitted that they saw it. So even the people working in politics admitted it. So... You know what?
Thinking, though, because when was that? Was that in the 90s?
Yeah, it was a while, and it's still going strong.
Yeah.
Lynn is still working on that, and she's going to be doing something more to bring that to the light of day. So she's quite an interesting lady. And Mary Rodwell.
What fascinates me, though, is that was huge at the time. It was in mainstream media and everything, and poof, it was gone in within a day, right?
Yeah.
Gone, and everybody forgot about it.
Oh,
and
that's
then
how
there
we
was
are.
Other things, and I remember, I don't know, many years ago, there was a whole fleet that went over the White House or something.
Yes, absolutely.
Huge at the time. And then, boom, it was gone. In Essen and one, I think it was, when they had the first conference with all the military guys and girls, disclosure movement. And that was huge for, what, 2-3 days? And then, of course, 9/11 happened, whenever that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it was, like, so huge, and then, boom, gone. And then only just recently something came up, and it was all over the news and everything, and then gone. So
yeah,
it's like
yeah.
a cycle. It's
I
been
know.
Going on, like, it's been so up there in the media and everything, and then it's gone again. I don't know how that happens or why it happens, but...
I don't know either. I guess somebody just pushes a button and says, okay, it's all right to show aliens, and then they push a button and they say, okay, stop.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we've come to the end of the show. I was just talking, and I looked up at the clock, and I thought, oh, my God, we've only got a minute left.
Oh?
We've just been on for about an hour. So you've got about a minute left to, you know, wrap things up and, you know, mention anything that you want to mention before we close the show. And I, of course, want to thank you for being back. I just love having you on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much. I missed you.
Missed you, too.
Well, you can find me at ascension101.com, and you can also find me at walkwithmenow.com. That's where I hang out, and I have lots and lots of conversation with fascinating people. I have a YouTube and my Facebook. Just keep in touch and see what I'm doing. And it's like I said, I'm moving away from the message of mass message of empowerment to ourselves singularly moving forward and creating great things together. And I'm encouraging everybody to go out and find individuals who they resonate with and start co-creating and enjoying each other and life here on the planet. This is a beautiful planet.
Yep. Very nice, Anilia. Well, it's so good to talk to you again, and I really appreciate you coming back. And we'll talk again one of these days soon again. We'll be before you know it.
Okay. Stop neglecting me, Lance.
Well, thanks so much, Anilia.
I love you.
I love you. Bye-bye.